Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come before your people and to share my testimony, for your word says that they overcame him, the devil, by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their life till the death. And now we pray that you give us victory as it strengthens the brethren to hear one another's testimonies, to see how you have led us in the past. And I pray as I tell my past that that it'll be to no glory of the things that I've done, but that it will bring glory to you and your mighty power to save. Amen. I pray that you give me the words so that your words are spoken and not mine, that hearts will be touched, that my mind will be clear, that everything that comes out of my lips will be to glory and honor of you and your plan and power to be mighty to save. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So how long do I have to say?
Just 30 minutes.
30 minutes? Okay. So my testimony goes, when I grew up going to just the regular conference church, and I learned that you're not supposed to eat unclean meats, and you're supposed to go to church on Sabbath. I didn't understand why. I just knew that those are some things that my mom didn't do and the family didn't do, so I didn't do those things. But what happens, I wasn't too interested in God or learning or going to church. So I would always sleep during the services. I'd go to church because I'd be dragged to church, wasn't interested, and I'd usually try and sleep on the pews. But at the conference churches, I'd go up to the balconies and sleep up there. But then when I started going to Pastor Brandon's church, there wasn't any pews, but I was still really tired. Well, there was pews, but I mean, you know, not in the balcony. Yeah, nowhere to hide. So it was a little more open, but nevertheless, I was tired and I wasn't too interested in God. So unfortunately, that was the case for many years. And I remember being in the world, the world has nothing to offer for you. It's very difficult and it's sad to live without God in your heart. And when you don't have God in your heart, you have this type of void that only His love can fill. And you go throughout life with a bunch of distractions trying to fill this peace that you're missing. A lot of people, they go throughout life and they know they're missing something. They don't know what it is. So they go from distraction, whether it be food, friends, relationships, drugs. And for my distraction, it was video games. I played a lot of video games and I spent too many hours doing that. And my life was just wasted. But I was from age 11 to 16. I was severely depressed. And so my emotions were sad. So I played video games to kind of distract my mind from those sad emotions. And of course, life isn't really that great when you're living like that. But I remember when I was 16, I was at the lowest that I've ever been. And I was just upset because my friends weren't really friends. When you're in the world, you kind of like come together, but everyone has self. So it's like the reason why they're friends with you is because they want a friend. And you're friends with them because you want a friend. And still, it's nothing like having good quality Christian friends. But I've never experienced that until I became a Christian. And I praise God for the people I kind of replaced. But the friends weren't that great. My family members hated me. I was a very, very difficult child.
Thanks, Mom.
No. She said she didn't hate me. She, out of like everyone, my mom was the one who held on the tightest and really made sure that I was loved. I was thankful. But unfortunately, after all that, I was kind of, I was pretty hard on my mom out of like most of my family members. And that's one of the reasons why majority of my aunts and whatnot, they really hated me. I was called the devil child. I was called pure evil by one of my aunts. And I was one of those kids that you looked at and you would say, well, God's grace is really powerful. God is mighty to save, but that kid is so bad. I'm not sure if God's grace can really touch or influence that kid's heart. I was one of those misfits that you see often, and you kind of give up hope. But when I was 16, I was the lowest that I've ever been, and I realized that whatever I'm doing is not working, and there needed to be something different. And when I was so sad, the saddest I've ever been, I tried to think back one day, and I was like, okay, so I'm at the bottom right now, rock bottom. So when was I ever at the highest? When did I just feel the best that I've ever felt? I don't know why I thought that, but I just felt like contrasting it. And the moment I did that, instantly I remembered I was the best I've ever felt when I was on fire for God. And I had joy, and I had love, and I had peace that I've never experienced anything that amounts to that quality and amount of just joy, overwhelming. But the thing is, I felt like that like 3 or 4 times throughout my life went by the age of 16. But it only lasts for about 3 days because, you know, it's going to go away if you don't apply what you learn and apply it to your life. And so whenever I'd get on fire for God, I would just dwindle down in 3 days because it didn't change my life. I didn't allow it to change my life. But I remember thinking that was when I was the happiest. And now here, 16, I'm at the lowest. And I just want something different. I look at my past and I say, well, there's a bunch of dark things aren't working out. Families, relationships, people I really care about, they're just kind of being destroyed. Then I look at my future. I'm like, well, that's the same thing. And it's like, I don't want either one of them. And so I remember thinking that with God, I thought if God truly is the God of love, I've been hearing it all my life, if He really does care for everyone, then He would always want me to feel that way. He would always want me to feel happiness and joy and that peace that I had in my heart. And if He really cared for people, that's what I pictured that He would want. So with that being said, I kind of sought after God with that mentality. And there's this camping get-together thing with counselors and kids and whatnot that I've gone to. And every time I was on fire for God, it was because I went to that camp meeting, that camping trip. Not really a camp meeting, but I haven't been there for like a year and a half. But that Thursday of that week when I started thinking like this, I got invited to go to that camping trip. And I was like, oh, cool. So it was the next weekend that I was going to be able to go to that camping trip. So I was like, all right, cool. I want to have this peace. It's like, well, how can I get this? And that's how I always did it. So I went there, and I sought for God. I had an experience with Him, and I remember praying. I've never wholeheartedly prayed like this before. Even till today, I was very sincere, and I said, Lord, what would You have me to do? Because obviously I'm doing something wrong. What would You like me to change that I can have a relationship with You? And I knew just by the question that I proposed, whatever God says, I had to do it. Because I knew that if I didn't do whatever His answer would be, I would never have a relationship with God. And I would never have that peace. And so I knew what I was doing at the time, but I never expected Him to say what He was going to say. And he answered me, and He said, there's two things you got to do. You got to change your friends, and you got to quit playing video games. Now, you got to keep in mind that, like, because life was difficult, I looked at video games to distract my mind from stuff, and that's what kind of, like, I coped with things like that. So it was kind of hard to imagine life without video games because that was the only thing that kind of kept me somewhat sane and contained. And for God to tell me and God to quit playing video games, I couldn't fathom. I didn't understand why or what He was trying to do. But I knew that I had to do it if I ever wanted to even, like, experience this change. So the next day I come back, and I don't know what's going on, but I sell all my video games, and it was right after Black Friday. I just bought a bunch of video games, spent hundreds of dollars on them, and so I had a bunch. And they were brand new, and like 2 days I used them, and then I just sold them all. And I got my hands on this National Sunday Law book, and for the first time in my life, I realized the importance of the Sabbath. I'm like, so this is why we keep Sabbath. That makes so much sense. I started to understand a little bit of prophecy, like Revelation 13, and I was like, wow, this is so profound. I was just on fire. And it was in our library. Mom had it in our library for a while. She was just like, oh, you're on fire. It's like, I want to read this then. And I hated reading. by 16, I read like a total of eight books in my life. I just couldn't stand reading. But when I read that, it took me about 3 hours. I read it with a friend, and I was so on fire. I took it to my other friend's house like instantly afterwards. And then the next day I had school, and I was reading it with kids at school, and I was just really happy about this book. So by Jan Markinson. And so with all this video game money that I just like sold and got rid of, I ended up buying 1,000 National Sunday Law books to go distribute to people. And I wrote him a little letter and gave him a testimony about what I've been doing with it, how it changed my life. And I bought 1,000 and he gave me 1,200. And it was really cool because the next week he gave me another 100 that I wasn't expecting, but it just showed up. The next week he gave me another 100 and then another 100. So total, he gave me 1,500 books of National Sunday Laws. And I only bought 1,000, and I was just, thank the Lord for that. But what happened was I got rid of all my video games, so now I'm just twiddling my thumb because this is a high number, but I used to play video games for like 10 hours a day, and it was just too much. And that's obviously why God said, you cannot be doing this and have a relationship with me. I require your time. You got to take this God out of your life. But now I have all this free time on my hands. I'm like, okay, so what do I do with it? So the first day and a half, I twiddled my thumb, but I was tired of doing that. I'm like, okay, what do I do with all this free time? So I was like, suppose I could like pick up a Bible or something. So I started studying. I was 16, and I spent like 5 to 6 hours a day studying, just study after study, sermon after sermon, just read and read, and I was just so thirsty. I was learning all sorts of stuff. It was mostly from Amazing Facts. And I just devoured that website, almost watched, almost read all their booklets and all that in just a few months. I was just thirsty, and I learned a lot of stuff. And what was interesting is the more I learned and applied to my life, the better my life got. And so I was just coming out of just pure darkness, and it wasn't working for whatever I was doing. So I knew that as I applied stuff to my life got better. So it encouraged me to want to study more. So more hours I would study and more time I would take to be acquainted with God and what his teachings are. And it was something different. So my life started to change. And here I am 16 and or almost 17. And you know, at that age, you're kind of making decisions for your life. You're thinking, so what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Where's my career going to go? And I was shortly ending high school, and I'm thinking to myself, and I try to picture myself in certain careers, and I'm just like, you know what? From the complete turnaround that God has done in my life, from the knowledge He gave me and how that has changed my life as I've applied it to my life, I couldn't imagine being in any other career where it doesn't involve me sharing the gospel or teaching others what He has done for me. And so soon afterwards, I decided to be a preacher, to go into the ministry, to share what God has done for me. Because one time I was in some darkness and I was sad, but the Lord got a hold of my life and He changed me. Amen. And those family relationships, I've tried to change several times before. Out of my own strength, I was kind of upset that like my sister and my mom, where there was conflict between the house and whatnot, and I knew most of it was kind of because I was just crazy rebellious kid, and so I tried to change reform my ways, but it just didn't work, and I kind of did it so that they can see the change in me and so that we can get better. But this time I decided I'm going to change my life. I'm going to do these things because God wants me to do these things, and because He loves me, and the more I learn, I begin to love Him. And this is the better way of life. So I decided, regardless if my family saw a change in me, I was going to change. And if they still refused to see it, then they miss out on something great. And with that in mind, I started to change. And my life just turned around. And sure enough, it didn't take long where they actually did see it, which was the first time. I was like the boy who cried wolf. I'd try and change, and I'd make a mistake, and then I'd be hard on myself. They'd be hard on myself. But this time, they saw it, and mom started going back to church, because at the time, we haven't been to church for like 4 years or so. She was taking me, and we were becoming more spiritual, and I had two friends that were coming into the truth with me, too, and it was really nice, and I was bringing people to church. But yeah, so as I started to change my life and me and mom, our family members can begin to see it. Now our family members, like you can tell my grandma, my two aunts, that they used to just really not stand me. But one of my aunts have been starting to go to church, and I've never saw her as a religious person at all. And she's off and on going to church. And then another aunt, she's an Adventist, and she's the one who called me pure evil and a devil child. And mostly she just thought that I just couldn't be saved. And but I remember I had the privilege one day. I was sitting next to my mom while she was talking on the phone, and this aunt, she kind of talks loud, so the whole room can hear her when she's on the phone. I'm just minding my own business, like studying my Bible, right? And so she's talking to mom, and I don't know why what happened, but I just heard my name. So I was like, all right. So I started listening or whatever. And I heard her say something, and she's like, you know, that boy, Enoch, he doesn't realize what he's done to my life. He doesn't even realize how he's affected me. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, because of him, I have hope. He used to be so bad. He used to be so rebellious, but the Lord changed his life. I used to look at him as hopeless, but because the Lord has changed his life and flipped him around, now I have hope for myself. I see where I fall short, and because the Lord clearly did something with him, that makes me feel that he can do something with me. And she's like, he doesn't even know how much he has affected me. And I was just like, wow, what a privilege I have to be able to listen to something like this. And I didn't realize I was making that effect on people. But you know what? I'd like to suggest to you guys, many of us, we don't realize the responsibility we have as a Christian. We're followers of Christ. And to many people, most people, you are the closest thing to Christ people have in their lives. Your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, everyone you come in contact with, even acquaintances at work or whatnot, you're the closest person to Christ's character, his love, that people have. And we don't realize the effect that we have. Sister Tanya said that it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And it reminded me of like words, and because our words start fire too, and our actions start fire, and we don't even realize what goes on, but it's affecting lives. And maybe you don't see it right now, but just remember that when you think no one's looking, just keep your eyes close to God and don't worry about anyone else, because when you follow God, then your life gets better and other people's lives get better. And I just praise the Lord that I'm able to be here, like, today and throughout the camp meeting to be able to share with you guys. Because the Lord was a blessing for me first. And what he has done for me, I'd like to be able to bless others. Amen. So I just want to say thank you. And that's pretty much my testimony. Thanks for listening. Amen. But can we close with prayer?
Amen.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for leading us. Many of us come from all sorts of corners of the world, from the states, from different parts and ways of life, different classes among people. We come in contact with all sorts of people, but Lord, we are the light of the world. You have called us out of darkness, and we are to share that love that you have changed us. And we're all here today because one day God did something in our lives, and he brought us to a closer walk with you. And maybe some of us have realized through the camp meeting that we're not where we used to be. We're not where you would want us to be. And Lord, we want to say, ask for forgiveness where we have fallen short. But we also want to pray that you strengthen us, strengthen our testimony, that we will go forward and be conscience ambassadors for your kingdom, showing your love and your lifestyle to those around us. Help us to realize the change that we have in the world. And many of us feel like we don't affect lives and we don't do anything for the gospel. But we know that there's angels looking at us, not only angels, but there are people watching our every move. And we do witness for you just by our lifestyle, especially by our lifestyle. And we pray that you be with our characters and help us to remedy the defects and guide us to the truth by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.